We were sharing just a brief report. We came back last March last year with the idea that we would be here for like 3 months and then return. We had our tickets and everything organized, and as soon as we got here, things shut down over in Uganda, and we were not able to get back. And we've been sitting here waiting for a year, but we've been busy, and God has opened many opportunities for us to speak here and there and to serve Him. So it's been really a good time, a time where we have been learning a lot, learning patience, waiting on the Lord, a time that we've been able to spend in the Word and in prayer for the believers there. They have gone through some real hard struggles. One of their main leaders was in an automobile accident and later died from that. So it set their ministry back, but they're going on, and we're just continuing to pray for them and trust that God would help them to, to fill this gap and to keep pushing ahead. We're hoping that in God's will that we can be going back over there in either April or May. And we trust that by then things will open up even more.
I'll keep them informed.
And we'll keep you informed as to what goes on and what we're able to do. But keep praying for us and for the ministry there. And we'll be praying for you there. And we appreciate very much being able to visit and share with you a bit today. I wanted to talk just a little bit from a psalm that has blessed my heart recently. It's Psalm 90. And in that, it's a psalm we see from the title of it. It's a psalm written by Moses. And it says he was the man of God. And what a title that was. And, as I looked back over the life of Moses and thought much about it, Moses was a man that really appreciated his being able to share with God and to walk with God. And I know back in Exodus chapter 33, verse 15, after they had worshiped the golden calf, God said to Moses, "You take the people up there into the promised land. I'm not going with you. I'll send my angel along to prepare the way." But, Moses says, "No, Lord, if you don't go with us, then we don't want to go either, because your presence with us is so very, very important." And after a while, God said, "Okay, I will go with you." And Moses, through his time, really felt, "I need to walk with God. He needs to be with us to teach us." And the one verse that really, has blessed my heart from this psalm is verse 12, where it says, "Teach us to make the most of our time so that we may grow in wisdom." And that's really speaks a lot to us. At the end of, their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Moses, says in Deuteronomy 33, verse 1, it says, "Moses, the man of God, blessed Israel." And he went back over all that God had done and the things that he had accomplished with them. And then in verse 27, Moses says, "And Lord, you have been our dwelling place." Home is where you are. And that's where we want to be with you. And he says, "And underneath are the everlasting arms." And so Moses, during this wilderness wandering, I think penned this psalm, this song that they would sing. And it reminded them of what God really was and what he had done for them. And this psalm starts out in the same way as his blessing in Isaiah, where it says, "Lord, Through all the generations, you have been our home. And he goes in the first six verses to present what God is. And then the next few verses, he compares it to what man is. God is so powerful, but man is so weak. And we feel our weaknesses continually. Let me read for just a moment these first six verses. He says, Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home. Before the mountains were created, before you made the earth and the world, you were God without beginning or end. You turned people back to dust, saying, return to dust. For you, 1,000 years are as yesterday. They are like a few hours. You sweep people away like dreams that disappear, or like grass that springs up in the morning. In the morning, it blooms and flourishes, but by evening, it is dry and withered. And then he's presenting God here as a sovereign Lord, as the creator, as the sustainer of all things. It points out that he is eternal God. And in contrast to that, what is man? And this is what really impacted the life of Moses when he's saying, Lord, you are the power, and we need to stay close to you. We need to walk with you. But then he goes on in a comparison to compare what God is and his power to how weak man is. And he points out that man is very feeble, that our life is very short and fleeting, and that our existence is very, very frail. And the words that he uses, I think, reflect the experience that he was undergoing during those 40 years of wandering in the desert. Because the words and the terminology that he uses speak of a desert wandering, of withering and being overwhelmed and dried out. And as a boy, I remember living out in North Africa in the Sahara Desert. And it was a difficult place. We were way, way up in the desert. And the one thing that was very difficult for us was getting water and things to live. And Moses relates that in verses 7 and 8. And he says, we wither beneath your anger. They were wandering for 40 years in the wilderness and waiting for a whole generation to die off. And he says, we're here in the wilderness and we're withering. He says, we are overwhelmed by your fury. You spread out our sins before you, our secret sins, and you see them all. I remember as a boy, we lived in a place where there was only one well. And all of the people would gather. It was a hand-dug well. It was about 100 feet deep. And you would have a bucket tied to ropes, and you would lower the bucket down and fill the bucket and then very carefully pull the bucket up and try not to spill it on the way up. And then if there was water left in it, you would pour that water into a container and then go through the whole thing again. And people did that all day long, drawing water out, but there was hardly ever enough water. And you were very careful to use every little drop of the water. It was so precious. But, you know, that is living out in the desert where water is scarce. And I often wonder, here is a massive group of people wandering through the desert, and how they would get enough water just to live. And I think Moses is saying, you know, we are here withering. We're thirsty all the time. And they were also experiencing great heat. In the Sahara Desert, it was very, very hot. In fact, during the hot part of the day, our mother said, you guys, you kids can't go outside and play, because the sand was so hot that our tennis shoes, the soles of our tennis shoes, would start to melt. And we went through a lot of tennis shoes with that. And so she says, you just can't go outside. At times we would be able to get some sandals that were made out of used tire tread. And it seemed like the tire tread would not melt in the heat of the sun and on the sand, but it was very, very hot. And at times we would just come in the house all exhausted and just so thirsty. But then at night, it would drop sometimes 100 degrees and you would have to put a coat on to keep warm. You know, and Moses in Deuteronomy 29 verse 5 says, you know, for 40 years, your shoes and your clothing didn't wear out. Can you imagine that? That was a day by day miracle as God was with them, keeping them and providing food for them and water and helping their clothes and their shoes not to wear out. You know, God was so good to them. God is so powerful. But yet their life was so feeble, just hanging by a thread. And yet it goes on and says, our life is very, very fleeting. It's very short. I remember as a boy, my father oftentimes telling people the life expectancy of the people at that time was 27 years. So if a person lived to be 27 years old, he was considered an old man. And, you know, people died very, very quickly and very young. Moses talks about that a bit in verses 9 and 10, where he says, we live our lives beneath your wrath. We end our lives with a groan. 70 years are given to us. Some may even reach 80. But even the best of these years are filled with disappointments and we are gone. Here Moses is saying, you know, life is very short. And in that area there, it was amazing because, you know, the country was filled with snakes and scorpions and almost under every rock and every little, you know, crack and so on, you would have scorpions or snakes hiding. And it was a real problem there. And then the wind was always blowing mixed with sand. And it would seem like our clothes and our shoes would just wear out very, very quickly because of the sand in this wind. And, you know, our faces were often very red from the sand beating against our skin or chapped. In fact, there was very little shade around. We had a tree next to our house. And, you know, the tree in the hot part of the year would drop its leaves, I think, to preserve moisture. And so my father would put up a little tent. And at times, Mom would tell us, you guys go out and play in the tent. I think it was to get us out from under her feet so she could do some work. But we would go out and enjoy the shade from the tent, but it was very hot. And we felt really our life is so short, and it really is. And even in America, I remember one time that we were required to go, our whole family was to go and report to the local government authorities. And to do that, we had to travel way up into the interior of the Sahara Desert. And it was a very, very long and difficult trip. It was the French Foreign Legion that had set up a fort way up in the center of the country. And so we traveled up there with some guides to direct us to where it would be. And these government officials, they would stay pretty close to the fort. So everybody else was required to go there and to meet with them. On our way up there, we came across a nomadic group of people that when we talked to them, they spoke a different language, but some of our guides could communicate with them. They told us we were the first white people that they had ever seen. And it was amazing. And my father talked to them through the interpreters, and they had stories about creation, about the fall, about the universal flood, and all of this knowledge. But then my father asked them the question and says, but you know, you believe in a creator God. You believe that he is the one that brought a universal flood, but do you worship him? And I can well remember the laughs that these people made. Worship him, they said, as they laughed. No, we worship the spirits all around us. We don't worship this God. And there's a difference. People have a head knowledge, but their hearts are far from God. And that's what I appreciate about Moses. He not only knew a lot, but his heart was right towards God. And he knew about creation, about the fall, the flood. And he is the one that God used to give us the first five books in the Bible. But then Moses says, but Lord, my heart desires to learn more and more from you. And he says in verse 12, I'm reading in the New Living Translation, it says, teach us to make the most of our time so that we may grow in wisdom. That was really the heart that Moses had, a desire to learn more and more from God. In Proverbs 1:7, it also tells us that, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. True wisdom comes from a reverent honor of God and respect for him. You know, that was the desire of Moses. He goes on with various requests in the rest of this passage. He says in verse 13, O Lord, come back to us. Verse 14, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love. 15, give us gladness. Verse 16, let us see your glorious miracles again. Moses realized that true wisdom rests with God. And his desire was, Lord, teach us, teach us. And his conclusion was in verse 17, where it says, and may the Lord our God show us his approval. The only way to really get God's approval and success in our lives is by walking with him and letting him teach us. As I thought much about this psalm, my mind was drawn to many of the prayers that we are praying this day, that God would give us a revival, to revive us again. As I thought much about these, you know, things, revival, my question was, what is revival? How does it look? What does God want from us? Now, revival is to revive, to bring back to life. But what kind of a life? When in time would we want to duplicate what we would see today in the church? As I thought back over the years, would we want to go back 100 years, 200 years, maybe back to the Reformation or maybe back to the early church? But I think we need to go back even further and look at where would God want us to be. As I thought and meditated on these verses, my mind was drawn over to a passage in Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. And here Israel is under the judgment of God. And they come to God and they say, Lord, do you want more sacrifices? Do you want more praise offerings? What do you want? And at times today in the church, maybe we have that same attitude. Do you want more programs? Do you want more activities? What do you want, Lord? And God responds in verse 8 by saying, I have shown you what I want. And this is what I want. And he mentions three things. And I think they're very important things. The first one is, I want you to do what is right. What is right? And we have in the New Testament God's commands to us. And it's important that we observe these commands that he has given to us. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. He goes on to say, this do to remember him and his death, burial, and resurrection. This do in remembrance of me. That's another command that he has given to us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, and don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And I appreciated being able to share with you and to remember our Lord today and to worship his name. And that's what God wants from us, to do what he has told us to do. And also to be praying for one another. And also to go and to make disciples. And that's been the center of our ministry, is to disciple men and women, to be followers and servants of the Lord. He says, first of all, what I want is for you to do. It's an action to do what I have told you. And secondly, there's an attitude that he says in this verse in Micah 6:8, where he says, I want you to love mercy. Here, you know, God says, I don't want you to just be merciful. I want you to love mercy, to have that attitude of desiring to help others. But the third point that he mentions is probably the most powerful. He says, to walk humbly with God. To walk humbly with your God. And as I look back through scripture, when did people walk with God? I go back to Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 and 24. And we see there how Enoch walked with God. And he was so close to God that God just took him on home. I remember my grandfather often says, you know, Enoch and God were walking down the roadway, and they were having such a great time together, just walking and sharing together. And it came to evening, and God was going on walking. And Enoch says, well, I need to go back. And God just turned to Enoch and says, you know, you're closer to my home than you are to yours. Let's just keep going. And they walked right on to glory. Noah was another man who found favor with God. And in Genesis 6, verse 9, it says, and Noah walked with God. He was attracted in such a way. And today when I talk to people and say, we need to be walking with God day by day by day, people say, well, it's difficult. We have difficult times. How are we going to do that? And I remember the words of Jesus when he was talking to his disciples. And he said in Luke chapter 17, verse 26, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when the Son of Man comes back. Yes, we face difficult times today. But Jesus is saying, as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be when the Son of Man returns. It was difficult for Noah and Enoch, but they walked with God day by day. Now, to some of us, we say, well, I am with the Lord every Sunday. But my friends, that's like a visit. Jesus didn't say, I want you to visit me every Sunday, although that's a good thing. He didn't say, I just want to visit, I want more. I want to be walking with you day by day. God loves us. God wants to bless us in our lives. And God wants to work in and through us. But that only comes as we day by day walk with him. As a young boy, I remember there was an old African lady. She impacted my life in an amazing way. She lived way, way out in the countryside. And my folks and others were planning a big conference, an evangelistic conference. And we spread the news all around. And this lady heard about it. And so she started walking. It took her 2 days to walk in to where we were meeting. And she came in and people asked her where she had come from. And she explained and she says, I've heard that these people are talking about something new. And I wanted to hear really what they had to say. She was there for the whole week of meetings. And during that week, she came and accepted the Lord as her Savior. Her life was changed. And some of the people started to teach her and to explain to her, you know, what it really meant to be a believer and to walk with God. And after a few days, she says, well, I need to go home. And they encouraged her and says, well, God will walk with you. So listen to him. She couldn't read, but she said, God will be with me. And she went on home. Several months later, my family was out traveling and one of the men says, let's stop by and see that lady and see how she's doing. We drove into her village and we asked around and found the little hut that she was living in. And we went over to visit her and she was so happy and a big smile just came across her face. My father and the rest of us sat down and we started to talk and ask her, how's it going? How is life? And she just smiled and she says, oh, God is so good. God walks with me. You were so right when you told us that. And my father says, well, tell me about it. And so she went on to explain. She says, you know, when I wake up on my mat in my little house, the first thing I say is, good morning, Jesus. And it's like, you know, he just speaks back to me and says, good morning, my precious one. And she says, and I get up and I go through the door outside and I feel the sunshine and breathe the fresh air. And I just say, thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. Thank you for the air that you have given me to breathe. And God says, you're welcome. And she says, and the breeze brushes my brow, brushes my cheek as though Jesus is saying, I love you and I'm glad. I'm so glad to be able to help you. And she goes out and she starts a fire and she starts cooking her food. And she says, I just thank God. Thank you for the fire and thank you for the food that you have given me to eat. And God says, you're welcome. That's what I want to do. I want to help you. She walks out into her gardens and she sees the corn and different crops growing. And she just says, thank you, Lord, for giving me food to eat, for helping me to live. And Jesus says, oh, you're so welcome because I love you so much. I just want to provide for you. And this lady went on and she, through her day, thing after thing, thanking the Lord for the health that he had given to her, for the strength to move, for the air to breathe, for the food to eat. And then she says, and at nighttime, I go into my little hut. I lay down on my mat and I say, Jesus, good night. And thank you that you won't leave me, that you will be there by my side, watching over me as I sleep. She says, and I go to sleep and I sleep well because Jesus says, I am here and I will watch over you through the night and I will wait for you to awaken in the morning and listen for your greeting. You know, that lady taught me as a young boy more than many theologians have taught because this lady had captured a real secret to life, the secret of walking with God. And that's really what God wants. And that's what Moses wanted in all of his life. Teach us, Lord, day by day to walk with you and to grow in our knowledge of you and our wisdom. that I may be approved by you. You know, God wants to bless us, and God wants to help us, and God wants to walk with us. And I'm really thankful that, you know, I can share with you some of these words and this message of how we need to be walking with God. He wants to walk with us. He doesn't just want visits on Sundays or Wednesdays. Those are good in themselves, but God does want a lot more. He wants to walk with us through the rest of the week. He wants to go where we go. He wants to see the things that we see on our TV or different places. And he's there. And if we're careful and we listen and we read his word, he will talk to us and he will speak to us and tell us how much we mean to him. I thank you for this time. And I hope these words can be an encouragement. This psalm has been an encouragement to my heart. And I just am thankful. And Sue has a song. I hope it will work out, but she can sing it now, a message in song that she would like to give to you. Thank you.